It is the last day of the Bush administration. A new cabinet is poised to reshape policy and help guide the new president. Much like George W. Bush in 2001, Barack Obama has assembled a group of seasoned veterans. He has stacked the deck with a team of political heavyweights. But are there any wild cards in that pack? Joining us to put the new team under a microscope are Mary Frances Berry, a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert George, associate editorial page editor for the New York Post. Welcome back to News and Notes, folks.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be here.
Mary, let's start with you. Would you describe this group that the president-elect has assembled as having any unified philosophy, or is it too early to tell whether they will gel politically?
Well, I think it's too early to tell. The most important thing about them is that Obama wanted them, all of them. I think that you have Clinton and Gates, who are considered to be sort of moderate hawks on war and peace matters. You have the Treasury Secretary, who still seems to me to be the most problematic one, who's was part of the responsibility for the crash that is occurring and who apparently doesn't know how to do his own taxes. That's sort of a wild card. Eric Holder, who's a friend. You have a group of friends of the president, acquaintances and friends and people who play basketball and who seem superbly qualified and are mainly either Ivy Leaguers or they went to major educational institutions, public and private. And then you have people like Gates, the holdover, and Clinton and Leon Panetta at CIA, who is a Clinton holdover who used to be a Republican. So I don't think that there's a unifying theme. Most of them seem to have a lot of experience. Perhaps that's a unifying theme.
Well, Robert, I want to ask you, because Mr. Obama has said that he wants his team to incorporate many different perspectives and voices. Who on the cabinet, so far at least, is most likely to represent that different voice?
Well, I mean, I mean, already there is a little bit of a tension, and Mary alluded to that with Robert Gates. I mean, he is obviously the former President Bush's soon to be former President Bush's choice for Defense Secretary, and it would be most likely to try and put a pause on whatever schedule President Obama would like to write down in terms of starting to reduce troops in Iraq. So my sense would be that would be the most likely area in terms of Iraq policy and also how troops are going to be deployed in Afghanistan. That would be the clearest example of where there might be a little bit of not necessarily tension, but at least a viewpoint that Obama might not immediately gravitate to.
Well, you know, Mary, there have been some issues raised about how well Team Obama vetted some of his cabinet choices. You've already made reference to Treasury. Bill Richardson, we could throw him in there. Eric Holder also
SEC pick, who's named Mary Shapiro, I believe is a name, who's been named in a couple of lawsuits alleging that she lied in reference to a regulatory matter that she was overseeing.
That's
right,
another one.
Does
Obama may in fact not have, I have read this, as many appointees in place than Bush had at the time when he took office? Should this be a concern?
Well, it's a concern because even though he won't have as many in place, the numbers will not be the same. It is a matter of some urgency to get them in place, in particular what's going on in the country. But it's also important to get the right people, and it's also important to get people in whom we can have confidence. The part that's bothersome is the lack of good vetting of these people. It seems
exactly
to me that, I mean, I've been vetted several times by administrations and for jobs and security clearances and all kinds of things. But I don't understand how somebody wouldn't find out about the tax thing. One of the things with the Treasury Secretary, they always ask you about those questions when you're vetted. And I don't understand why the Mary Shapiro matter shouldn't have come to the fore. And I do not understand why they didn't take seriously the Bill Richardson. Eric Holder, I think they knew everything about his situation, and I don't think that his situation is disabling. It's just something to make for Senator Specter and others to have fun with.
Well, that's right. I mean, the holder stuff that they are focusing on, or pardon the expression, holder overs from when he was deputy under the Clinton administration, both the Mark Rich pardons and the FALN terrorist pardons as well. So everybody knew about them. I think what's really troubling is that the irony you have here is that the area where things at least are under certain control, say Iraq and the foreign policy questions, those people are going to be in. Gates is obviously in there already. Hillary Clinton will be approved immediately. So the foreign policy side of the equation is going to be set. But the area where the crisis really is, the economic issue, that's where people will not be in place, and that is rather troubling.
It's going to be interesting to see whether Obama sticks, as he has so far, with the SEC nominee and with the Treasury nominee, or if he picks somebody else. Many people are willing to give him a pass on both of them, even though I think that if they were in some other administration, they would not be given a pass, just because people are in a celebratory mood and they'd like to give Obama a pass on everything. But I don't think they should, because he has to be taken to task just to make sure that the people around him do a better job on everything else they do.
Absolutely. Let me ask you about a person we don't hear very much about, but we are going to see an awful lot of, probably beginning Wednesday, I would imagine. Robert Gibbs, he is going to be the public face of the administration as the press secretary. Now, this is a very high-profile role coming out of the White House. What do the both of you expect from Gibbs, and what do you know about him?
Well, from what I've seen of him, he probably has one of the key qualities you're going to want in a spokesman is that he seems to have the complete confidence of the soon to be president. And from what I understand, he is somebody who is going to be in the room when the important decisions are made. And if you really want to have a high quality spokesperson, you're going to want somebody who's going to be there when the decisions are made, so he knows exactly what the formulations are, and he can then translate that into the public voice.
It certainly sounds like that's the way it should go. Is that how you would expect it, Mary?
Right. It seems that way, and the history of that post is that people who don't have that access, D.D. Myers didn't have it in the first Clinton administration. If you don't have that access, then you're out there trying to talk to the press.
Scott McClellan did not have it in the Bush administration,
right,
for example.
And so I think that that's a terrible job to have if you do not have the president's support, and if you are not in the meeting so that you know what's going on in the meetings, and Gibbs seems to have that access.
Well, let me thank both of you, Mary and Robert, and wish you both a happy Martin Luther King Day, the day before the inauguration.
All right.
Same to you, Tony. Same to you. Have a safe flight back, Barry.
All right. Thank you.
That was Mary Frances Barry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert George, assistant editorial page editor for the New York Post. He joined us from the NPR studios in New York City.